Earth women who experience sexual ecstasy with zombie takeout always tend to feel guilty.
What's up? Welcome to episode 10 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie podcast.
What's up?
I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And are we really up to episode 10?
It seems just like yesterday. It's funny how these things work when you really consistently put them out, isn't it?
Wow, we are. I just double-checked. Anyway, without further ado, because we have no front matter this week, let's just get on to this week's movie. It is the seminal 1981 classic Heavy Metal.
All right, so first in line, of course, my plot summary.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, I have not seen this anywhere, but this is pretty much a modern retelling of Lord of the Rings. Through the eyes, of course, of The Ring, which in this case is a little sphere named Marklar. No, it was
the Lochnar.
Lochnar, yes. Marklar is something entirely different. though South Park did do a parody homage to this
course.
One episode called, I think it was called Heavy Boobage or something, Major Boobage.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was brilliant. And I'm not a huge South Park fan, but that was great.
So we follow the ring, or the orb here, causing his evil chaos from one time to another. And he tells, this is where the story gets a little hazy, as close to a story as they have. He's terrorizing this young woman about all of these evil deeds that he's done, but either the girl, when she grows up, killed him, or someone like her in another time kills him.
Yeah, the end is a little fuzzy.
Yeah. And she becomes either, she grows into the person that's going to kill him, or she becomes the new guardian to protect others from
him. That's essentially it. She's the new Tarakian.
Right. So really you're just getting these vignettes of evil and despicability throughout, and of course women.
Most important part.
Through different areas of space and time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about as good as you're going to get for a plot summary.
You mentioned Lord of the Rings. I don't know if it's specifically Lord of the Rings. It is definitely a classic hero's journey story, told from the perspective of the evil, which is odd. But
she's riding an eagle, for Christ's sake.
Well, yeah. Well, sort of a reptilian dove thing.
Right.
But there was an allusion to King Arthur in one of them.
And the whole calling upon the riders of Rohan and the
I didn't catch that. Yeah,
I wasn't really feeling it until that last story, and I was like, "That's what this is."
Yeah.
And Lord of the Rings, I mean, for the '60s going into the '70s.
Yeah, it was.
I think it was big now. I mean, there.
Well, it was. Every generation sort of has their big hero's journey. For us, it was Star Wars. For the previous generation, it was Lord of the Rings. You know, for now, it's Harry Potter. Every generation has that big hero's journey story.
It's all really Lord of the Rings over and over again, though.
Or wherever it started.
Yeah.
Just according to Joseph Campbell, it has roots in ancient history.
Right.
And Lucas himself has admitted that's where he got it from. But back to the movie at hand.
Back to the movie that we're doing.
Yes. Now, this movie features, I think, the origins of the Fifth Element.
Yeah, there's a few things I was watching there going like, wow, Aeon Flux, I mean
Yeah.
they're
Never caught that, yes.
Fifth Element, oh, the best though. The best, my absolute favorite part of this, Captain Hero from Drawn Together. I died. I've seen this movie before. I guess I should have said this at the
You have,
beginning.
okay.
I have seen this once,
In
in my
its
def
entirety.
yeah, long ago though, back at a time where I don't know, I might have been under some sort of influence at
Okay.
the time. But I'm pretty, because I was wondering like, why don't I remember this movie at all? I know I've watched this. So I sort of found out why.
You remember certain things as you were watching it for this show.
Well, I remember it all came back to me that I was really sucked in at the very beginning with Harry Canyon
Right.
and how, I mean, fantastic potential for a story there. And then it sort of ends and you're like, oh. And it has a convoluted ending to it too.
The
I
Harry
mean,
Canyon story or the movie
yes.
itself?
Oh, the
Okay.
Harry Canyon story. Well, think about this. The girl, has the orb, and these gangsters or whatever want to, are offering her 300 grand for the orb.
Right.
If she wants the money that badly, here's the orb. Here's my 300 grand. Off I go. The whole thing shouldn't have happened.
Well,
The
that's
whole.
she did give it to them, but then she tried to screw Harry, and he killed her.
Well, right. Exactly.
But that
Why
was the convoluted part.
would she even needed Harry in the first place
Well, yeah.
if she just wanted the money for herself?
Right. Yeah.
Now, I guess you could say, she didn't. She thought that she was going to get double crossed and wanted somebody to watch her back to get out. But it still didn't make any sense.
Yeah. I think
And it
that's
could have.
if this movie has a flaw, it's that the stories don't really, they start good, but they don't finish well.
Yeah, that is true.
Could be said of the
That
movie in total.
Harry Canyon had like this great potential of future. I mean, it was this is what, a year before Blade Runner?
And a decade and well, a decade and a half, 15 years before Fifth Element, which is, I'm pretty sure, where they got 90% of it.
Yeah. And so think about it, it's 2 years after the Warriors, and this is the future of New York as opposed to
The Warriors' future, yeah.
the Warriors' future, which, wow. But yeah, you can see, where they would think New York was going to go, being through the 70s and all that. Like, wow, I guess they didn't anticipate Giuliani coming along and his iron fist.
Well, if he hadn't, that's where it would have gone.
Yeah, very few
Minus the
can argue
flying
that.
vehicles and robots, it would be there now.
Yeah.
Okay, so it starts with Harry Canyon, and then it moves on to Den.
Right, and I'm kind of like, what? Wait a minute. This could have gone, I'm expecting like the adventures of Harry Canyon, and it just, okay, he's gone. And I'm thinking, all right, well, maybe we'll get back to him or something. And I think it was when we were finally finished with Den, I was like, we're not coming back to him, are
No.
we? This is just going to go on like this,
Well,
isn't it?
see, they were all based on it was inspired by Heavy Metal, the magazine, which is a comic book magazine for those who are unfamiliar
Right.
with it.
I don't like to read the stuff before I see the movie. I'd like to, go in there with the
So
open mind and just take it on face value.
each vignette is inspired by a different long-running story in the magazine.
Right.
And so they went through a series of them. They didn't really repeat any of them. They were all isolated stories, except for the what they call the Grimaldi segments, which are the connecting ones.
Right. So yeah, I was expecting it to come together, and then after Den, I sort of lost that hope and was kind of like, oh. Now Den, I was kind of laughing through because all I could think of was, people say that our generation is in like an arrested development now. It's a movie 30 years ago that they had no intention of kids ever watching this, I
This is
don't
true.
think. And it's supposed to be an adult movie. It's just, oh, I'm the king, and
Yes.
and
Particularly
whoa.
Den. It was well. It's a fantasy story from a teenage boy perspective,
Right.
essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's the female nudity in this, it's one thing to have it, but did they have to draw the same body over and over
Ah.
again? They all had like implants.
Yeah.
I mean,
In the early 80s, before that was really popular.
yeah.
Also, did you notice the name of the god that they were trying to summon in the Den story?
No, what was the name?
Ulatek.
That name sounds familiar.
Well, it is. It's spelled Uhlutc. Cthulhu backwards.
Oh. All right.
And then from Den it moves on to Cap, my favorite, Captain Stern.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Basically, this absolute slime ball captain, I don't know what service he's in, science fiction story set aboard a space station, who's
Right.
undergoing trial for a list of crimes literally about 50 feet
Well,
long.
yeah, they took the good, the bad, and the ugly bit where they're reading the crimes of El Tuco.
Yes.
All these crazy little things thrown in there, playing cards on Sunday and
This, 9 counts of rape, 10 counts of armed robbery, and then it ends with and one moving violation. Then
yeah, that was
he
funny, and
has my
then you
favorite
get.
song in the movie, Cheap Tricks, Reach Out.
All right, you're bringing up the music now, and I gotta comment on this. If
Okay.
you're gonna call a movie heavy, I don't know how these guys are
Yeah,
still
yeah, yeah,
alive.
yeah.
You're going to call a movie heavy metal, and then proceed to put Journey and Stevie Nicks in there.
Yeah. There were, I think, only two songs on the sound within the movie that really qualified as heavy metal. The Sammy Hagar tune called Heavy Metal, and
Yeah.
Mob Rules.
Right. Now, the other thing is the sound mix. I don't know if they've come out with a remastered version of this, and I just saw an old version, but it has to be some of the worst sound mixing I've ever heard in a movie.
Really?
Well, think about it. The version I saw, at least, the music was down really low, at like a really low level, like where you could barely hear it, even when they moved inside the bar towards the end and Devo was playing inside
I think
and it
that may have
became.
been an audio issue with your copy then.
Okay. But the dialogue was fine.
Yeah, I think that somehow the audio is messed up on your copy because when they first walk into the bar, you almost have to turn it down normally. It's
Okay.
a little too loud.
Okay. Maybe there's been a remastered version or something, but I'm kind of shocked because, like, the music's kind of low and like all these different parts, but the dialogue was fine.
Yeah. You mentioned the Devo song, and this is something I have to get into. First time I saw this movie in its entirety was at a midnight showing at a local theater, and I'm convinced I'd seen bits and pieces of it as a when I was very young on heavy on Night Flight, if you remember that show.
Yeah, I probably have to.
But the first time in full was at a midnight showing, and we had comeback lines. Now, that Devo mentioned brings this up because one of the guys who there were three of us who'd come up with the comeback lines. One of them when that fight starts before she walks into the bar is that's what you get for playing Devo in the jukebox. Another guy when in the next segment B-17 when they show the airport graveyard yells out
Yeah.
it's the Florida Everglades. And my recurring line throughout the movie, anytime anybody touched the Lochnar was, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, whatever you do, don't touch the U-238. So I'm just bringing this up to encourage those who may see it in a public setting to use those lines, come up with your own, do a whole thing with it. Getting back to Captain Stern for a moment.
Okay.
Eugene Levy was the voice of Captain Stern. I just found that out, and I did not place his voice. I was really surprised because I don't picture him going that deep. You know, he's got this nasally high voice normally.
And of course, the lawyer.
Jeff Flaherty.
Big hook nose.
A lot of SCTV people involved in this.
Yes. Movie. Yes, which is kind of weird. You know, you would expect SCTV to be in on this.
Well, it was
John
a Canadian
Candy
production.
Choice. Yeah.
After that, B-17, which is a very simple story, no comedy to it. It's a plane going down in World War II, and then it's, you know, followed by the Loch Nahr, and the dead crew members turn into zombies. And
I would say they could have done without this one, actually.
B-17, yeah, it was connective.
I felt it was kind of, you know, pandering. We've got, what's popular? Well, you know, there's always World War II, and zombies. The kids like zombies, you know. Like, if they had done this 5 years later, they would have been ninja zombies.
You have a point, but remember that these ideas didn't really start with the movie. They were from previous comics in the magazine.
That's true.
After that, So Beautiful, So Dangerous.
And you missed the. I think it was between Captain Stern and B-17. Did you notice the Enterprise?
Oh, that was at the end. No, that's at the end of So Beautiful, So Dangerous.
Oh, was it? I'm sorry.
Yes, or towards the middle. Basically, a woman gets abducted by aliens, shags a robot, they crash into a space station. That's about it.
Yeah.
But at one point after they snort some plutonium Nyborg, they see all these hallucinations in space, and one of them is the Enterprise.
Now, they had a couple good lines in it, but other than that, this was pretty, this was kind of another filler.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think it was at the end of this where I was going, oh my god, there's another half hour of this?
Yeah, the TARDIS story is the longest one in the piece. It's about a half hour, which is the finale. Well, the last of the vignettes, anyway.
Yeah.
This is the Riders of Rohan story.
Yes.
Lochner crashes into a volcano, erupts this green stuff, turns a bunch of townspeople.
Did you catch that? A volcano.
Oh, now that you mention it. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that was a little on the nose. It turns all these town people into barbarians. They attack the town. The elders, who are only statesmen and scientists and have no defenses, have to call on the last Tarakian, the Riders of Rohan, to save them. And then, you know, and then it's again, adolescent fantasy time.
It's sort of, and it's like, okay, so here's Gandalf, only it's Clint Eastwood, and only it's a hot chick.
Yeah.
They did like their Clint Eastwood, I admit, too.
In what respect?
Oh, well, you go to watch that any one of those Men with No Name movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And how, I think it was either A Fistful of Dollars or A Few Dollars More. He goes, like, the first half hour, at least,
without saying anything.
A single
word. That's what, I thought that's what you're referring to. I wasn't sure, yeah. She has no lines.
Waste every badass that gets in his way.
Yeah.
But doesn't say a word.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's got these very, very scant leather costume and...
Yeah, the flex outfit.
For some reason, she has to swim nude across this pool before she can get into said costume and go save the town.
Yeah, you know, that whole, like... That took forever to get her into the outfit. I mean, yeah, they wanted to show her swimming nude. I know, I understand. They could have done that. But they had her, like, first they had her arriving at the place and
Yeah.
everything, and it was like, oh my
It
God.
was a long tracking shot of her flying through this, you know, machine with all of these pipes, and I think the animators and artists just wanted to show off for a while.
Well, yeah, and I think the sad part is that wasn't even the best animation in the movie. I
No.
mean, it was like, what, why are you showing us off here? And you're not
Yeah.
even showing off. I mean, Grant, the animation has some great, I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
some just dazzling moments, but that wasn't it.
No. And they could have, if they wanted to show the swimming, they could have, she could have started there.
Yeah,
And then gotten the
exactly.
call and then done the thing. But no,
Right.
they had this whole convoluted ritual, including pulling the sword, her sword out of a pool of water. The Arthur reference I was referring to earlier.
Yeah. He pulled it for a rock, but the Lady of the Lake
Well,
did give
that
him the
varies
sword
depending
of
on the legend.
gave
But
it
it.
back to him, I think.
And then she goes off and becomes Clint Eastwood for a while.
Yes.
And then once again, it devolves back into adolescent fantasy when she is, you know, strapped to this table, this torture device, and whipped and, you know, thrown down into this, you know, pit without her costume.
Right.
And then the reptilian pigeon, as I called it, saves her, and the artist who came up with that mount really had to be on something.
Well, yeah, and that's what this movie is for, actually. This movie, I think, is by no means should be watched without the influence of
See, I've
something.
always watched it sober, and I enjoyed it. But anyway, moving on. Yeah, she saves the town, destroys the Loch Nahr. That's where it gets fuzzy.
Well, yeah, because then the Loch Nahr who's telling the story is saying no, and then
Somehow,
dies.
Tarna in the story, destroying it in the story that Grimaldi or the Loch Nahr is telling, destroys it. So something that has presumably happened in its past destroys it in the present.
Yeah.
And then the girl who he's terrorizing goes on to become the next Tarakian.
Right, so I would assume that that it exists in different times simultaneously, but gets killed in another time period, and that turns her into the next Tarna.
Wow, you actually went for a logical explanation.
That's the only thing I could think of.
I just kind of let it go. I figured it doesn't make sense, don't even try.
Well, I think that's what it was establishing. It was existing in the future. It was existing in World War II.
And all simultaneously.
Yeah.
But it's telling the story.
Right.
Or it's showing her, I shouldn't say, not really telling the story, but it's showing her visions of. Perhaps, we could debate this
What
endlessly.
has been and what will be?
Yes, exactly.
And wait, don't do that.
Ah.
Oh, that's the end. And that's why, well, the only reason why I would say this is because they're saying she is the next
Yes.
Tarakian, which would mean the one before it is the
Was the
one that
last one.
did it.
Tarna was the previous one, yes.
Yeah.
And there was a sequel called Heavy Metal 2000, which I don't recommend.
I hear it's only one story, though.
It is one continuous story, and does and sort of in a very convoluted way explains the first Tarakian.
Oh
Although that conf it there's it conflicts with the story in Heavy Metal about it being Tarok, a man. In Heavy Metal 2000, it's a woman. But two of the lead actors are Julie Strain and Billy Idol.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. Well, that's awful.
And
Then
it's
again,
not.
if she were the last Tarakian, the girl would have to be either that
Well,
same Tarakian.
the girl is the last Tarakian, or the most re or the next generation of Tarakians. In the Heavy Metal 2000, she seems to be the first Tarakian, even though it's not Tarok. It gets convoluted.
Yeah.
And it's really not even worth it to laugh at. It's that bad.
Oof.
But there is talk of a remake, of course.
Now, I mean, the animation can be better,
Oh, yeah.
but is that really that important of a thing?
Get the list of the directors. Apparently signed on in some capacity are David Fincher, Guillermo del Toro, Zack
Of course.
Snyder, Gore Verbinski, James Cameron is doing one, or going to be co-executive producing. Mark Osborne and Jack Black from Tenacious D are going to be doing a comedy segment for the film. It has potential.
As long as they're rewriting
Well, yeah, I don't think it's going to be. I doubt these A-list directors would just be doing a new version of what was in the original movie.
Yeah. Stuff like guys snorting blow and then getting stoned from it. It's kind of like, wait, no, what?
Was the early 80s.
They're breaking their backs to get the drug references in there. And then not even getting the right one.
I don't know if it was really breaking their backs. I think they just kind of said, okay, we'll do it here. They had essentially Cheech and Chong, not voiced by Cheech and Chong, but the characters were basically them.
Yeah, you could tell that's who they wanted in there. But yeah.
But I think this remake could be good.
It could be.
I mean, with those names involved, this is a case where I think it really does need an update and a rethought.
Perhaps. I mean, there is room for potential. I like, the overall concept, the Lord of the Rings, of course, from the Rings perspective.
Yes.
I mean, that's not a bad idea for a story at all. But this could have been, I would think this should have been at least 20 minutes shorter than it was.
Yeah, well, Tarna does go on a bit.
Well, they could shaved off that. We could have done without B-17.
Yeah. And there's actually a few things that they ended up getting cut.
Oh, really?
The transition between Stern and B-17 was not just Hanover's hand, and it with the Lochnar in tow. There was a segment called Neverwhereland, which connected it, and basically it was, I've seen it. It basically the Lochnar lands on, in Hanover's hand lands on prehistoric Earth, and it shows the evolution of how it's affected the Earth over time. And it was set to Pink Floyd's Time.
Wow. That might have been pretty cool,
Well,
actually.
the sound effects at the beginning anyway, not the whole song.
Oh.
But it was a great segment. No words, no real characters, just
Yeah.
an evolving animation. Also, another idea that was changed. I think this could have been better. The original idea of B-17 was going to see gremlins attacking the plane and trying to dismantle it in the air. Now, if they were Looney Tunes gremlins, that could have been brilliant.
Right. Well, it wouldn't have been the other gremlins at this time.
Well, true. It was a little bit before that.
Yeah.
So, what else do we have to say about this one?
No, I think I've said everything I have, really. I think it's time to give our brains.
Okay. What are you thinking for this one?
I'm gonna give this one two brains. Um,
Wow.
like like the overall concept, I liked some of the animation and thought it had some funny lines, but they sort of fell flat on their putting it together, I thought.
This isn't one of those like Rocky. I really can't be objective about, but it's just it's one of my absolute favorites, and I'm gonna have to go for.
Four rains, whoa.
Yeah. The ending does fall down a bit, but overall, it's brilliant, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of the endings in the in them fell apart.
Yeah.
Well, you bring up the end of Captain Sternum, Stemmen, and I think of I of course think of Gollum holding on to the ring. I wasn't thinking Lord of the Rings at that point in time, so I probably wasn't thinking it then, but thinking back on it now, yeah. The disembodied hand holding on to the Marklar.
And so, what have we learned?
Let's see. We learned that if you are... you need a better surgeon if you're going to be in an early 80s animated film before getting breast augmentation surgery.
And I've learned, much like, you know, I did from Troll 2 and How Comes the Frog Down, once again, green is bad. So, until next week, don't forget to stop...
Oh, wait a minute. We're taking a vacation.
Well, that's... I was getting to that. Don't forget to stop by the site. We've got links to the Twitter and Facebook and iTunes. And yes, there will be no show next week. We're off next week.
So you have time to catch up on episodes if you have yet to do so.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Tell us all about it and we'll catch up back then.
Yes. So until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
It's okay, Charlie. I got an angle.